by Paul Van Essen of Greater Life Church. For more information about us, do visit our website www.greaterlife.org.uk.
Fantastic, are you well today?
Yes.
And I don't have the little hands-free microphone today, but that'll be all right. You'll be able to listen, and Carrie, if you can shoot some bits of video of different parts, it'll be good today. I'm going to talk to you about the key to everything, which is the inside of you. I sent you some WhatsApps, it was on the website. It's a very, very important that we understand what makes life work for people. I've been in the Christian church for a long time. I love to mix inside and outside the church. I love people. But I find that one of the biggest challenges is that for many people, life doesn't work all that well. And even for those of us that we would consider to be in a really blessed country with the sun shining and air conditioning and cars and iPhones and, you know, free, more or less free health care and a lot of wonderful things we have here, there's a great many people in our world that are not feeling particularly fulfilled or that find that the circumstances of life crush them. You know, I mentioned David, who apart from being a part-time tattoo artist, is also a healthcare nurse, professional psychiatric nurse, and deals a lot with the areas of mental health. He spoke to us a little bit about that last year. And the truth is that mental health, or what we would call problematic, perhaps mental health conditions, are on the increase in our nation in a very significant way, and all through the West. We spoke this week, I was at a prayer meeting on Friday night, for the transformations for you know, as many of the local churches to get together. And so we kind of team up. John Miller from the Baptist Church runs that. And we were praying for schools, because this week is prayer for schools. You might know that. And they talked a little bit about the importance. And they said, does anyone know teachers? I said, I sure do. And we pray for our teachers. But, you know, one of the biggest concerns, there's a couple of clips. I've got time to show them to you today. But you can see them on Pray for Schools. Of different teachers, one's a deputy head and one is a teacher, class teacher. And they have both expressed great concern at the notable increase in mental health and emotional health challenges that kids and staff are facing. And those are statistically, reproduced. We live in a world where for all the blessing that we have, you know, there is a real... Is that us?
Yeah.
No, it's you. Everyone point at Carolyn. Love it, though. I love to see you in that. I'll do. All right. So we live in a world where you know, a lot of stresses and problems. People are finding that with nearly everything you really need to live, a lot of people are not very happy. Unlike us here this morning.
Yeah.
Are just full of joy because they have Jesus in their lives apart from anything else. I mean, what could make you more happy than that? So, anyway, I'm going to talk to you today about what I'm calling the key to everything. The inside of you, your inner person, is the key to everything in your life. And we've got two parts of this. This is part one, and I'm going to do a couple of quick experiments. And so we need a little bit of boiling water, which Chrissy is going to provide. And we're going to do that. This will be experiment one. So if you've got that boiling water for me, yeah, that's great. And then what I'll need, maybe, can you get me like a little jug just of regular cold water, Chris, as well? Thank you very much. So yeah, just a regular. You might have seen this before, some of you. It's pretty basic science. And... Though I think at university you have to get to master's before you do this. So I'm giving you guys a little bit of a jump here, right? Yeah, that'll be perfect. So ladies and gentlemen, just a perfectly normal. Bought it yesterday, Sainsbury's £1.10. Filled all my other, because I'm, you know, safe. Filled all my other empty bottles, so we had one spare. There you go. Just a perfect, would you like to come out and just check if that seems perfectly normal? Give it a tiny little squeeze. Yeah, it's all right, seems all right. Okay, good. There we go. And what we're going to do is just pour a tiny bit of boiling water, just the heat comes on in our lives every now and then. Are you with me? Just a bit, not much. There we go. That should do it. Just a little bit. And of course, because it's hot, It'll push some of the air out. You'll see some steam coming out. And then, after just that short time, we're going to put the lid on it. And actually, if you leave it there, just for a while, I'll pop this over here so I don't forget it later. If you leave it there for a while, you'll see the same thing happen, but I'm going to accelerate it. So sometimes the negative, wet, rainy, depressive type things happen to our lives. And lo and behold, right before your eyes, your life just starts to get crushed. Can you come and lift that up for me and tell me if that looks the same as before? Not so happy now. Crushed. And that's what a lot of people's lives looks like, ladies and gentlemen, on the inside. They're just crushed. Things don't happen. And if we, the longer we leave it there, it'll do that until it kind of gets to room temperature. I'm going to pop that over there. So that's experiment one. Now I've got another experiment, which some of you might have seen before. And this is just a perfectly normal. Would you like that to you, ma'am? Could you come and check that this bottle is perfectly clean and okay and happy? Good?
Yeah.
Now, actually, while you're there, because you're so good at this, I get to take one of my boiled eggs here, and I have three. Go try it on. And pop that on there. And gently, see if there's any chance you can actually get that in there. But don't break it. No way you can get there in there. Right, okay, good. I'm just letting you know. I know you're enjoying being here, but you can see now. Give her a big hand. Similar kind of situation. I'm going to pop that in there. See if it can pop that on there. This is my tester one. Right. Right. I've run out of fire now on the inside. Well, I'd be pushing to get any further because no more air can get out now, you see. But if I try and take it out, you know, without breaking it, which is really tough, and you get a piece of egg in the bottom of it. All right. So, Finn, I have an alternative. I have a second egg. I'll try with matches. See if we have any more luck this time. Here we go. You watching?
Yeah.
Light a couple of these. And this is you. This is representing you here. Just need a little bit of. Ah, see, they've gone out too quickly. I lack the skills of a true scientist. But I really am doing this just to encourage everybody. Has anything ever gone wrong for you in public? Try one more time. It's not very happy. However, if you do it properly, I'm going to try one more time. All we need is a bit more. Let's see if this works better. Anyone think you're a science teacher? All these comments. There we go. We might get lucky. You never know. We'll try. So what actually happens? Who knows what happens? What?
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty good explanation. And that's a good example of not quite how to pull it off. However, I have a third one.
Are you ready?
I have a third and final experiment to show you today.
And I need a couple of... I need a strong person. And I need a very not so strong person. I'll get...
I'll be very strong. Yeah? No, I'm looking for like, you know, somebody that's built, you know, like Paul. Yeah, Paul, you could, why don't you come out here?
And Owen, could you come out? Chris and Emanuela, can you come quickly?
Now watch this. See, these are two people and they look exactly the same, don't they?
Big people, right?
So I'm going to get Paul to try and crush that big person with his bare hands. And then I'm going to get Chris, same person, to crush on three. See if you can crush. One, two, three, go.
Steve's is empty, your mind's full.
There you go, that big, strong man couldn't destroy. Thank you very much. Now, on a smaller scale, to see if you feel like you're a small person rather than a big person, the same principle works. This fine young lady is going to try and crush it, and this man is going to try and crush those on the count of three. One, two, three. Wow. Come on, Owen.
Oh, you're embarrassing.
All right. Brilliant. Thank you so much. And that's that. Can I ask you to put that to the side? Does anyone like this stuff? Oh, I just wouldn't drink it, but coffee is not bad. So I'm going to leave that there. So, those things were designed, particularly the first and the third one, were designed to just illustrate in a very simple way what happens when the pressure on the inside of us is not strong enough. And you can, because life, stuff happens in life. And a lot of people's lives, and a lot of Christians' lives, and maybe some of you today, or maybe some of you in recent times, or maybe some of you seemingly for your whole life, have felt like you're the bottle that when a bit of dampness comes on, your life crushes and collapses. Or you're the person when the devil or circumstances or sickness or fears, whatever, try and crush you. Even though it might be a small thing, a relatively smaller person with relatively smaller muscles still seems to be able to crush you, whereas other people don't. Why is that? It's obviously got everything to do with what's on the inside of you. And we're going to look at a couple of verses here quickly. This is part A. I'm going to try and cover two things quickly this morning. So let's have a look at this next one, Gab. Here's Paul writing. I've got three little verses that talk about this inward strength. Inward strength. Paul says, famous words, you should know these. I know what it is to be in need. Anyone know what it is to be in need? Yeah, Paul knew. Paul knew. There were times when he was just really short. Oh, sorry, kids. Thank you. Thank the kids for their brilliant help. Had a great time. You're fantastic. Yeah, you got to sign them in. Or you don't get them back. So it could be something you're interested in. Don't I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. Anyone ever been in a situation where you've had plenty? There's no shortage. And so Paul's experience isn't that different from us. If you've got the idea that following Jesus or being an apostle or being a leader or being a strong Christian means that you're never going to be in need, then you've been misled. It's not true. And then what happens is when you're in need, which will happen, whether it's in need of healing or in need of friends or in need of strength or in need of wisdom or in need of more faith or in need of a breakthrough in some area, If you think that's not par for the course for a strong person following Jesus, then you're just going to get disappointed. And this happens a lot. People get thrown completely because they don't know that that's what it is. That's just what happens. And then Paul says, I have learned the secret. Everyone say, learned the secret. So I'm trying to teach you a little something just briefly this morning because it's something that you learn. And you learn it through experience. And you learn it through experience walking with God. Now, some people have experience, and they're old. I had a grandma like this. She was lovely. She used to tell me, yes, you're young, but I have experience, she used to say. Well, of course, some people's experience when they're old hasn't been any good, and their advice is no good because they've got experience, but it was the wrong kind. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So not always is that applied, but there is something about experience that is significant. I've learned the secret. Secret means not everybody knows it. And I'm trying to unveil to you as much as I can what I believe to be one of the greatest secrets in life that Paul learned. To be content in any and every situation. He's in need. He's in desperate need. He's facing the loss of his life on several occasions. He's overnight in the Mediterranean Ocean, not like Jason Bourne, but like Paul the Apostle, hanging on to it for the whole night, overnight. He's thrown in prison. He's attempted to be bribed. He's been tried to be killed on more than one occasion. And everything about his life doesn't always go right at all. But he says, I've learned that whatever situation, whether I'm well fed, whether I'm hungry, whether I'm living in plenty or in want, and you know this, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Or one version says, I am able for everything. In other words, what he's saying is, it doesn't matter what I face, I can cope because of him who gives me strength. Now, that strength is down on the inside of you. And it's important to note that strength has got to be experiential for it to mean anything at all. And this kind of theme runs through my heart all the time. There is a big difference between us saying we believe that Jesus has risen from the dead, we're therefore believers, we're saved, we're Christians, whatever. There's a big difference between that and experiencing a strength on the inside of me that no matter what I'm facing, I feel like, hey, I can handle this. I'm not saying people are not Christian. I'm saying that they've gone in it, oftentimes, it's not people's fault, it's leaders' fault, often. But they've gone in at kindergarten level and kind of thought, right, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, right, that's it, I'm a Christian, great. But you've got to learn some secrets. You've got to discover that the person inside you is real, and he puts strength inside you that makes a difference to your experience when you're facing the challenges of life. Let's flip over to the next verse, and you'll see a similar kind of thing. This is Paul writing to the Ephesians, and how does he pray? I wonder how you pray for yourself. I wonder how you pray for other people. Here's a way that Paul prayed. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. God does what we ask him to do if we'll just come simply to him and trust him. And sometimes we've been that crushed bottle because we've never built enough strength down on the inside. One of the ways to get strength on the inside is to pray and ask God, strengthen me. Just get in my heart, get in my life. And he's in there, but strengthen the inside of me. There's another verse here, one more, where he's writing to the Colossians, I think. It's Paul again, and he says, being strengthened with all power. Sounds like the other one, doesn't it? According to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. You know, to run this race well, you're going to need some endurance, some patience. The word patience really means hanging there. It doesn't mean just sit there and wait. Patient means I just persist. And a great example of this is a guy called Abraham in the Old Testament. He now is in heaven, highly regarded, very important person in heaven. And he lived, and the Jewish nation and the Christian nation, so to speak, the Christian people of the world, and the Arabian people of the world will all look to Abraham as their father, because that was something God had in store for him. And it's easy to cheer now and be excited now. He's an awesome example to us. But most of his life was just patience and perseverance. God said to him when he was young, I'm going to give you as many descendants as you can see stars at night. And then he took him to the ocean. He said, now look at all the ocean. Look at the seaside, look at the sand. Your descendants are going to outnumber this sand. But he couldn't have a child. And he married Sarah, and they were good, and they were godly, and they served God, and they were strong, and they were mighty, and they did stuff. And God said that was his promise. And he hit 50, and he had no kids. And then he hit 60, and he had no kids. And then he hit 70. And then he hit 80, and his wife with him. And it was 100 years, 99, I think. And he's an old man pushing around a stroller. Still trust. I mean, he was laughed at. He had to have something on the inside of him. Are you hearing me today?
Yeah.
That kept trusting in God. Not, oh, you know, I know how you feel. I know how you feel. But God can put a strength in there where even though the circumstances, they don't crush you like that tin. You stay strong. You just, the pressure comes, but you're immovable because there's something strong on the inside. God can put that strength in there. How does that strength come? Well, one of the ways comes by praying. One of the ways that that strength comes is by hearing the Word of God and reading the Bible. Because it's supernatural food. That inside part of you needs food, just like this person, just like that egg I just had, and that coffee I might just have later on. Your natural person needs food, and your inward person needs food. And the inward person is the key to everything. Now, it's not good when your natural person is starved. It's difficult to function well. For some of you, it's difficult to even get going in the morning. You've had a couple of coffees and whatever. You know who you are. But that's true of your inward person, and your inward person dictates to your life far more than the outward person does. It's not good to have a broken body, but it's far worse to have a broken spirit, to have a broken inner person. And food, just like steak or Chinese or chicken or whatever you're having for lunch, is food for your natural person that will strengthen you. The Word of God, that Bible, which I have, you stole my Bible. Have you got it?
They stole it.
It's all right, it doesn't matter really. You know what they look like? They're kind of squarish. Oh, look at that. Caroline's bought the heavyweight version. Oh, look at it. I'm not going to open it. There'll be no spying everywhere. But this word, see, that word is not just somebody's opinion, not just words that somebody wrote in the paper. God, the Bible says God breathed those words, and they become food for the inward person. You literally strengthen. Sometimes I'll sit there, I've got a CD player or an iPod or whatever, and just listen. I'll just sit there and listen. You know, I don't mind watching the basketball or the rugby or whatever. But if that's all I'm doing, then my heart, my inside is filled with all this stuff. You've got to feed yourself the right kind of nutrients. Are you with me? John G. Lake, who was the person who really helped Carrie and I, he's passed away now, but when she had that dream about that lightning kind of flash going through, and she knew, just like the person she prayed for knew, that she was healed because you just felt something. I remember, I mean, that's happened to me on a number of occasions, but not that. There was one time when I was in Melbourne helping start a church and I was in my 20s, and I remember distinctly that. You pray for people, sometimes you think, well, I've sensed something happening. I remember this guy I prayed for, a South African guy called Gar. And as I began to pray for him, I just felt this whoosh from heaven. And sometimes when you get up, you think someone's going to fall over or whatever, and I just knew this guy was going to die, that's to try and catch him. And just because a whoosh came out of heaven. And that John G. Lake was a guy who, if you read his books, if you're interested in those things, boy, that will inspire you. But he used to say this, and he was a man who walked in that kind of power, and he would say many Christians feed their bodies 3 hot meals a day, and then they feed their inward person 1 cold snack a week. And then they wonder, when it comes to spiritual things, why they have no strength. You see, it's one thing for us to say, dear God, help us, and he will. But it's another thing for you to feed yourself. And it would be it's just as crazy for you to be at home in your house, and because you're not eating, because you just don't want to, and you haven't eaten for 3 days, and now you can barely stand up, and you can't, you're too sick to go to work, and you say, dear God, help me. Dear God, help me. Would you please? I'm feeling very weak. And he'll say, well, eat something. And if you don't eat anything, you can pray all your life, but you ain't going to get any better. And it's exactly the same with the Word of God. Now, the Word of God, reading the Bible, another way the Word of God comes is by me talking to you like this. Another way it comes is by listening to podcasts and things that we put up and lots of other people put up. But try and encourage people, because you want to hear, there's a nourishment that comes to your inward person. And that's what I tried to show you in those illustrations. See, many Christians, on the inside, there's so little strength that when pressure comes, oh, I know I shouldn't do that, but I just... And they get into it. It's not like that. Oh, man, oh, look, you know, I'm so mad at you. God's not like that. He just wants your life to work. The pressure will come, and he doesn't want you crushed. Another great way to build strength on the inside of you is to hang around with the right people. That is so important. You know, the Bible says exactly like this. You are going to become just like who you hang around with. And I know some beautiful people with remarkable gifts, and I know unless they change who they are, I mean, people that are really close to me, family and stuff like that. And I just think if you don't change who you hang around with, nothing will change. And you can have all the potential in the world. But, you know, the old adage, you've probably heard it before, if you want to fly with eagles, you can't hang around with turkeys scratching on the ground. You've got to find some other people, and they may stretch you, and they may be flying in ways through life that you think, oh my God, that's challenging. But if you want to grow that way, you've got to associate with those kind of people. Make a point of doing that. All right, the second part I'm talking about, the first part we're talking about, the key to everything. The first part is for the strengthen in your heart, to strengthen your inward person. And then the second part is, actually leave it there for a moment, would you please, and we will go to this other. Where's my bit of paper? You don't have it? You're busy writing notes. Are you really listening? Oh, I'm impressed. I might have left it inside there, mate. It'll turn up. Watch. No, there's a Bible and a little book with a buff cover. That's it. It's a little buff cover. That's the one. Lovely, thanks. I just wanted to, before I get to that... There I am. Thank you, Maisel. Everyone thank Maisel. Didn't she do that well? Wasn't that brilliant? Fantastic. So the first part is to keep your... The key to everything is to build strength on the inside person. There's no alternative to that. If you don't build strength in there, then pressure will come, and we will pray, and we will love you. But like somebody once said, you're much better... to have a fence at the top of a mountain and an ambulance at the bottom of a mountain. And a fence is like, build some strength on the inside of you. You know, I've done this for a long time. We will encourage people to be a church. I would encourage it. I'd be at least a couple of things a week. I think that's just a great way to do it. So we're doing this thing on Thursday nights, like an hour and a quarter. Just be there. You know, if you're watching the, you know, football, record it. Go on. Take care, because football games will come and go. And is it next weekend? Chelsea's playing Arsenal, is that right? In the FA Cup?
Yeah.
Which I used to watch when I was a little kid. I think I was 10 or 11 or 12. And in Australia, it's on at about 1 in the morning. And me and my dad would get up. I was a fanatic. I still remember in 1973 when Sunderland beat Leeds 1-0. And Sunderland were in the second division, and Leeds were one of the champion teams. And who was the guy that scored the goal? I still remember. Bobby Kerr was the captain, and he was the shortest captain that had ever won the FA Cup. I just remember all those. Isn't it great? But I remember that. I was so fanatical about all that stuff. I used to love it. And see, those things are fine. That's all right. But, you know, they'll come and go. I think Sunderland got relegated. This year, teams will go, teams will come, teams will go. Bayern Munich will win or not win. Real Madrid will win or not win, whatever. But your life is going to depend on how you build this inner person. So take care of it. The second thing that I want to talk to you about, your inward person, the key to everything, is I remember being in a conference with Brian Houston. It was a men's conference. There was a few hundred of us there. And it was a question and answer session. And Brian is the leader of, as you know, the Hillsong churches all around the world, very well-known voice. And and has gone through a lot of very difficult times. In fact, his most recent book is called Live, Love, Lead. And that's a really worthwhile book to read if you want to just very down to earth, it's not Bible teaching stuff so much. It's just talking about the stuff that happens in life and how he copes with it. The media has given him a very bad time, and yet he's a very strong person and a great person, but you know, he went through some tragedies and difficulties in his life. And I remember he had just been through one of these things, and he's at this men's conference, and we were firing questions, and someone said to him, if you were advising a young person, a young man, and they wanted to succeed in their life, they felt like God had called them, and they wanted to make sure that they finished the race, what would be the number one thing that you would say to them? I wonder what would be the number one thing you'd say if someone asked you that. And I remember Brian Hughes, without any shadow of a doubt, he said, without any doubt, number one thing, don't get bitter or hurt in your heart. Guard your heart. Keep your heart soft. Don't, and I can't tell you, and I'm still, you know, a youngish man with lots of future in front of me, and I can't tell you the number of Christian people I've seen over the years that may be more gifted than me, more talented than me, probably not better looking than me, but anyway. and they veered off, not like the holy, they've just made a mess of their life. And they may struggle with this whole, oh, has God mad at me and all that. But that's not it at all. God is nicer than the nicest dad you ever met. He's as loving. He's not weak, but he's very, very loving and believing in people. Very merciful and gracious. But it's not so much that. It's just that as soon as you let any kind of bitterness or hurt, I can't tell you, I could reel off dozens of names of people that today could be here or in other churches worshipping God, but they're not. They're not anywhere. And they'll all have a reason why they're not anywhere. Well, this, and I didn't like that, and, you know, Paul Van Essen's too Australian, or, you know, whatever, or the music's too loud, or the music's too soft. But most times, I wouldn't say 99 times out of 100, but most times when that happens, somebody's heart got hurt. Somebody said something that they didn't like. They were asked to do something they didn't agree with. You know, when you're in a family and you're a child growing up and you have parents, you know, guess what? Those parents are going to ask you to do some things you don't want to do, like dishes and like making your bed and like going to sleep at the right time and not sneaking sweets and drinks into your bedroom, you know, and all those kinds of things. And as much as it's challenging, the healthy norm is that you just learn to flow with it. Now, different personalities are different. It's a complex issue. People are very complex. And I'm using kind of broad brushstrokes. But the truth is that for life to work, you have to learn to flow with other people. It's like that in employment. It's exactly the same. In fact, I remember Brian Houston saying this. And, you know, he can be very tough. He's leading a big organization. And I remember him saying once he had a secretary and she was a sensitive kind of a person. And he came in and said, right, we've got to do this, 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 and this, boom. And she came in and she's teary. And you can understand that. But he's leading, he said, look, he said, the tears will have to stop or I'll have to get somebody else. There's not time for tears here. We've got a job to do. And some people will get all offended at that because they're the compassionate kind, and I get that, and that's fine. But somewhere down the line, you've got to flow with other people. You can't allow offense to get in your heart, because that's what kills you. I remember hearing that. That was Brian Houston's advice. Now I remember another message that I listened to years ago from another well-respected minister in America. You probably know his name, but it doesn't matter. And he did this message, and he called it "The Mistake That Ruins Ministry." And I was a young man, and I felt called to the ministry. I sure didn't want to ruin it. And so I thought, well, this will be interesting. And he talked about exactly the same thing. He said, the mistake that ruins ministries, and after this much time in life, I would say the mistake that ruins Christian people's lives
is hardness of heart. They let their heart get hard. Let's have a look at a couple of scriptures before we close up. Look at this. Paul, this is Proverbs, the book of wisdom. Above all else. Everyone say above all else.
Above all else.
Above everything else, guard your heart. You're in your
put protection over it. Yeah, well, I'm just really ticked off at that person.
Well, you know what? So am I. But I'm not going to let it get to it. I'm going to guard my heart. Unforgiveness is a form of that. Where in your heart, I'm just not going to, they did that to me, and I am never going to forgive. Well, you're the one that's going to suffer. And you say, well, is it fair? No, it's not fair. And lots of things in life are not fair. And if you think you're the only one that's gone through that, there are people who have been through worse. Certainly, the people called Jesus, who was our example. I get it, you know. I get it. I've been horribly hurt. I've been, I can't begin to tell you the things that have been said. And it's horrible. But you can't let it harden your heart. Because that's when disaster starts. Everything. Guard your heart, because everything you do flows from it. Another version, from it flow the forces or the issues of life. The Moffat version, guard above all things, guard your inner self, for so you live and prosper. Your level of life is not going to be dictated to by whether you've got your university degree or whether you've got one or not. Or whether you married someone that had more money than you or not. Or whether your children turned out to be as nice as you wanted or not. All those things are extremely important, and I've been through them. But the level of life you attain to will have everything to do with how you guard this inward person of yours. Let me show you this bit Jesus said, and then we're done. Just a couple of more. We'll just do two more here quickly, if we can. Yes, Jesus, that just quite fitting. Watch this. Just watch how this important thing is in hardness of heart. They can you roll it down a bit, or can we just see a little bit more? Something about bread. I just want you to see it. Thanks, mate. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread. Okay, so they've forgotten to bring some bread. They're going with Jesus somewhere. Except for one loaf that they had with them in the boat. And Jesus says to them, watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. That was his statement. And he's talking about the influence of negative people in a group. We used to say it here, I'm sure we still do, one bad apple. Right? That's the deal. A little bit of yeast can ruin the whole batch. And that's what he's talking about. So they've forgotten the loaf, and he says, be careful, watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. And they discussed it with one another, and they said, it's because we've got no bread. He's talking about yeast that's got something to do with the fact that we forgot bread. They've missed it completely. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still... Yeah, let's think. Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? Have you ever talked to people, and this might be the case more as the older you get, and to you it makes perfect sense, but they can't see it for the life of them. They can't see, for instance, when you say, look, if you won't forgive people, I know it's not easy, but I've been there. And if you won't forgive them, it's kind of like drinking poison and then hoping the other person will die. That's what unforgiveness is like. And that makes sense, you know, but sometimes you say to people and you try to explain to them something about life that might help them, and for whatever reason, they just don't get it at all. And they'll have their reasons, because everybody does. You know, if people, left a church or whatever in a hump about this, that, or that, then they're not going to say, I let my heart get offended. They're going to say, they talk too much about money. Or they're not as fine as they used to be. Or stuff like that. I always have a reason. And I'm not, you know, that's just people. That's okay with me. I love them. But watch what happens here when he says, look, why are you talking about having no bread? Don't you see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? When your heart gets hard, you get blind. You can't see straight. That's the danger of it. That's where deception comes in. It's not a cerebral issue, it's a heart issue. And your heart, which is now hardened because someone did or said something you didn't like, if you don't keep it soft, you'll end up being blinded to things that other people can see. And you'll end up making decisions that you could swear black and blue are the right thing to do, but they're not. But you can't see it. Final verse, and you'll see that the Bible says exactly the same thing. So remarkable. Is this helping you at all?
Yeah.
So final passage, this will be. So Paul's writing to this Ephesian church, and he says, look, I tell you, I insist on this. Don't live any more like the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. So it's interesting, isn't it, that he writes to a church and says, look, guys, you got saved. You're in the world, you're not now. And like any church, like any life, we still have bits and pieces of the way the world works in our lives. And he says, look, don't live that way. You know, live the Jesus way. I'm insisting on that. And then he talks about that. In the futility of their thinking, they are darkened in their understanding. They're separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Why do people do crazy things and reject whether it's the God of love or good things or wise decisions? Because they let their hearts get hard. The key to everything is to keep your heart strong but soft. To always be in a place with God where you say, and with people, you know, because if you're in a relationship, I'm in a relationship with Carrie, you know, we're married. But every now and then, she and I both have our opportunities to get our hearts up. She'll just do something, or I'll do something, it'll just rub the other person up the wrong way. And I'm looking for a, sorry, Paul, you know, I should never have done that. That's what I'm looking for. But then I'm getting a, if you want me to do that, then why don't you do that? And I'm like, ooh. And every day of our lives, most people have the opportunity to let their heart get hard. You know what I'm saying? But that's the biggest danger of all. Keep it soft. And the best way, I find, to keep your heart soft is to be in the presence of God and keep it soft before Him. That's really the truth for me. I'll just talk to God, I'll make time, I'm busy too. Say, God, I need you. Help me to keep my heart soft. And it might take 5 or 10 minutes in the presence of God, and I'll turn the phone off and I'll put some worship music on, and sometimes I'll hang a curtain over the doorway and tell Carrie I'm going to be in here for half an hour, so I just need, because we don't have like a spare room for that. And I'll find that when God comes near to me, my heart will soften. You always know you're in a good place when the inside of you says, hey, God, whatever you want, you know, you can have it. It's all right. I just want to do anything you want. And that, there's a difference between that being an intellectual decision and that being the disposition of your heart. You know what I'm saying? When you keep that there, you'll find it's a lot easier to be soft with people as well. Because there's a softness and a tenderness that's kept in your heart. You combine that with strength, and that nothing will ever be able to stop you achieving everything you've got. Let's close our eyes. We're done for today. Maybe we'll put that music on just quietly, that soundtrack. And I just want you to take 30 seconds now, and then we're done, and we'll eat and all that stuff. 30 seconds to think about what we've talked about and to think about it in the context of your own life. Have you ever suffered from being just depleted on the inside? And a little bit of water falls on your life and the bottle of your life crashes. Squeeze from pressures, financial pressures, illness, and you just find yourself collapsing on the inside. Father, strengthen our hearts. Ask you to strengthen. If you find that there's any offense in your heart, you're angry at somebody, you really have to let that go. Could be a Christian, may not. Forgiveness is not dependent on the other person agreeing with you. The other person may not even be alive. But I'm telling you, God has such an awesome future for you. You're not here by accident this morning. And the key for you to negotiate your way through all that life and trouble. Hear the word of God, feed on the word of God, feed around the cross. make the right decisions. Keep your heart soft. Father, I pray for every person here. Strength and courage. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here. For loving these people. Strengthen everyone. Visit us this morning. Help us to walk in awe.